I love how Ricky comes out and just starts kind of having a simple conversation. And he says, oh, shut up.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Aziva.
And I'm Erica.
Today, we are talking about Breaking the Lease, which is the 18th episode of season one. Guys, we are almost to 20. That's pretty amazing. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jez Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed January 5th, 1952. And as I just mentioned, it was the 18th episode aired. The synopsis, it's pretty basic. Mertz's and the Ricardos are up and they're singing and they're having a fun time. But then when the Ricardos just decide to sing, the Mertz's have a problem with it. A fight ensues.
The it's Ricardos very bipolar.
Try to break, try to break the lease so that they can leave. They do. And then just we'll get into it more.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's a simple episode, but it's also very complicated, if that makes any sense.
Because it's
both sides of the coin, you know,
because it doesn't exactly have a beginning, middle, and end. It just suddenly starts. It just suddenly.
Right. It's there. And then, you know, like I have very few notes on just the actual episode itself, because I feel like they're fighting and I'm like, what am I going to. Am I going to pick apart each word they say in the fight? They're just fighting the whole time. But anyways, do you want to talk about the radio show that they were trying to make, or do you want me to?
I think we both probably came across the same information. And I don't know if you were as surprised as I was, because when I saw that they mentioned radio show, I assumed My Favorite Husband.
My favorite husband.
And I'm like, okay, no. it's My Favorite Husband. That's not what they're talking about. So what information do you have?
So I found out that they tried to basically create a I Love Lucy radio show.
To kind of coincide with the show.
In conjunction with the show that they were doing. And I don't know. I feel like they would have had what came out, what aired on the TV show, and then they would have just adapted it a little bit to work while on radio. That's right. Basically what they did with this one. Mm-hmm. They just took the audio from this, put in some Philip Morris sponsors, mm-hmm. aired it. There is a opening narration, so if I'll read it, and then just so you know, guys, it didn't take off. That's why we're not talking about that as well. This was the only recorded, and then it just didn't work out. I honestly think that that's good. I think that would have been way too much.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if it was something that you would be promoting as after you watch the show, then also listen to it. It just seems like
maybe
too
it's
much.
For people that didn't have TVs.
Well, there's that too.
It wasn't like that TVs were.
Yeah.
You know, now everyone, you know, not everyone, but so many people have TVs. It's just a commonplace in the house, but back then it wasn't as common. I mean, I know there were a lot of people with TVs, but okay. So the opening, mm-hmm. like the opening narration, and it goes, "Hello, I'm Ricky Ricardo, and I'm the guy who loves Lucy. The whole thing started 10 years ago. I had just come to this country from Cuba, and I didn't know much about your customs. The first girl I had a date with was Lucy. It was a romantic night, and after all, I had a reputation to live up as a Latin lover, so I kissed her goodnight. It was right then that she told me that under the Constitution of the United States, if a man kisses a girl, he has to marry her. Then I found out that she tricked me. I didn't care, because after all, if I hadn't married her, I would have married someone else. And Lucy's just like any other American girl who's pretty, charming, witty, and partially insane."
Now, okay, now listen. There's a lot in that narration. It's probably a good thing that it didn't take off, because although throughout the series, there's a lot of jokes that she tricks him into marrying her.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard that story before. He talks about how she says that, like, it's a constitution, like, that he has to marry her.
Right.
So it definitely comes up later. They must have liked it. You know, they must have liked what they heard, but it didn't take off. Sorry. And like you said, if we're going to jump right into the episode, if you're okay with that, mm-hmm. this is it. I mean, it really just like, it just starts. Like you said, there's no specific beginning. They're just singing all of a sudden. You're in their apartment and something's already going on. They're not even at the beginning of the song. They're finishing it up.
Right. And so they're at the piano, which they used to, you know, you see it throughout the series. You'll have them just break out into singing. Most of the time it's to try to exclude Lucy from it. But
yeah, I was going to say, whenever there's group singing, something bad happens. It's just right.
So
that, and whenever they're super complimentary of each other,
you know,
like as soon as they start complimenting each other, you're down. Like, all right.
I did write that down. They were very sweet and happy.
Too sweet.
And complimenting, like, oh, this is the best apartment ever. And the way you keep it is so great. Like, where is all this they're love building coming it from? Up. Yeah, just so we can crash, so come can... crashing down.
Exactly.
And so they're harmonizing to the song called I Want a Girl, just like the girl that married dear old dad. And that was a popular song of 1911, composed by Harry Von Tilzer and William Dillon. It has become a barbershop quartet standard, and it appears in movie Show Business in 44 and The Jolson Story. What I didn't know when I found out was that William Frawley had a well-known rivalry with the fellow vaudevillian Al Jolson, who, you know, was kind of famous for the blackface and all of that, you know, vaudevillian days. And appropriately, the song will be reprised in the vaudeville themed episode. So they're just all singing this, having a good time. And I did look up the lyrics for this. I don't know if you did. It's just so bizarre. It says, when I was a boy, my mother often said to me, get married, boy, and see how happy you will be. I have looked all over, but no girly can I find who seems to be just like the little girl I have in mind. Many thoughts. I will have to look around until the right one I have found, and just on and on about wanting to marry a girl like the one that married dad. In other words, he's trying to find his mom, which, red flags.
Listen, okay. I have such strong feelings about that.
We could either get into it or move on to the next song. It's up to you.
No, let's get into it real quick. This is a creepy song. I don't know that a lot of people actively go out looking for marrying someone just like their parents.
Yeah, that could go either way.
I married someone very much like my dad. They're incredibly similar. It's kind of scary how similar they are. So like I can understand there's that, but I was just saying, I think that like happens sometimes when your parent is like actually good role model,
yeah,
and things like that, and you see a strong relationship. Because I do know that I always thought to myself, like, I want something like what my mom and dad have. I want a relationship like that. And so I think I had a very high standard for what relationship I had. And so in that sense, I did go out saying, like, I want, this is my bar and no one can be under that.
Yeah, you're right. No. I mean, of course, it can go the opposite direction, which is, you know, looking for someone who's bad, you know, and because that resembles who you grew up with. But in this sense, it really much is probably trying to honor mom here.
Yeah. So. Okay. So this is, we're big, you know, deep conversation. And I'm over here looking at their, I think they're coffee mugs.
Oh, really?
Thinking, I want those because they're
clear.
Is it similar
to the Ivy?
They're like glass mugs.
Is it similar to the Ivy thing?
No. If you go on to like, well, yeah, I guess in the fact that I want them now.
Right.
If you go on to like the Paper Moon, it's like one of the first photos, and when they're all at the piano, they do the toast. Right before they swing seat Sue, I'll have to find them, like a good photo of them, but they look like glass coffee mugs that are kind of like steins.
Oh, they're drinking like a root beer.
Are they drinking root beer?
I think it's supposed to be like root beer. Yeah.
Okay. But whatever it is, they're clear. And I love that. Like they're clear with the metal strips around them. And I really like that.
So then after they do,
I'm gonna look for that.
That round of dear old dad, then they go into Sweet Sue, which is like the first time we hear it sung.
Sweet Sue. That's you.
Yeah. And it's the first time it's sung on the show. And of course, it'll be heard again.
For many, I believe.
Mm-hmm. In Mr. and Mrs. TV show. That's season 4 that we'll be doing in about 15 years. Episode 5. And in Ragtime Band season 6. Sweet Sue Just You was written in 1928 by Victor Young and Will J. Harris. And the song was written for or about silent film star Sue Carroll, who died in 1982. So they start singing that. And that's when there's a lot of the wanting to live there for the rest of their lives. You know, a lot of
Yeah, all the
that changes.
Too sweet stuff. Yeah, we kind of went right past the fact that the men are wearing things they don't normally wear.
Yes, I did notice that. Very comfy.
Very comfy, like pullover. And I mean, we see, you know, Fred comfy quite a bit, but we mm-hmm. definitely don't see Ricky
right
in something like that. And of course the girls are similar, and there is that pack of Philip Morris cigarettes
prominently right displayed. Yeah,
of course. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they sing Sweet Sue. And then they disperse, right? They disperse for the night. The Mertzes go downstairs because it's what, 2 o'clock in the morning.
And of course, when they exit in opposite directions, and which happens a couple of times in I Love Lucy. Fred and Ethel, they leave and they go in opposite directions when they first exit, which is always hilarious. And I'm wondering if that's just because, you know, in real life, the set is a little too snug, or they just don't want to be near each other. Just like goodbye. As soon as possible to get away from each other. Okay. So, yeah.
How did they change so quickly?
It was very bizarre. Because
Ethel is already down. She's like, looks like she's upset. Been in bed, right?
Yeah.
So they leave, and almost immediately, Ricky starts playing the piano.
Yes.
While Lucy's cleaning
up. He's still in a cheerful singing mood.
I mean, right. It literally is, they walk out, he starts playing. Mm-hmm. And then one chorus, I mean, not even a verse into the song, Ethel starts hitting on the roof, on the ceiling. And
her sudden change of attitude.
Oh my goodness, such a huge change. And so it's a huge change, and the fact that she's changed, like in her nightgown already. Yeah,
she's already
ready to be in bed.
My God, it's almost like the pajamas or the nightgown was laying there in the hallway for her to just pick up and
throw on real quick.
Yeah, so they're baffled as to why this sudden change in attitude, of course, but because they were just so complimentary of one another, a little too much. And they're kind of like, okay, let's just brush it off. Maybe it's just, you know, and then they notice. Yeah, that they
I mean, it is 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So,
and also, can we discuss how, I know they do touch on them being the landlords. And so they're, if anybody's going to complain, it's going to be towards, you know, to them, but mm-hmm. can we talk about how little regard for the other tenants at 2 o'clock in the morning is going on?
Like, or when they're trying to break the lease, even like, mm-hmm. I know that they're in a fight with the Mertzes, but there are other people that are going to have to listen to
it's a huge apartment building. It really is. Okay, so they go into the room, the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. The next thing is a fight, and this is it's not really a fight, it's an argument, a silent argument at first between Lucy and Ricky, which I think is an argument that a lot of couples have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of people who live together
and
are sleep together in the same area have. Because I fully understand this. Are you a warm or a cold sleeper?
I need it cold all the
really?
Time.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to be warm. I mean, I'm ridiculous. It'll be summertime and I've got comforters and it's makes no sense. But
see, I'm the opposite. I need it to be cold. I sleep so warm. And so Colin really wants a mattress heater, topper heater. And I was like, that's great if we get like a half and half one so that my side can be freezing and his size can be
That sounds like heaven. It really does.
but so they're, you know, up and down. And again, I just want to point out that they are so exaggerating it for the point, like, even if I was opening the window, I wouldn't be slamming it open every single time I opened it, you know? Like,
it's like everybody's so trying to be loud,
right? Yeah. Oh, and
so kind of reminds me of being the Ricardos.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's so moody. This is where they got it from. No, I mean, but I mean, let's understand, even after a really good night with friends, once you're home, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. If it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then at that point, who knows? Like, you just want to crawl into bed and don't want to do anything. So this, so like I said, and this was a real life dispute between Lucy and Desi. It's kind of based off of that.
Yeah.
Because Lucy was always hot. Desi was always cold. He wanted the window shut. She wanted them open. And so we kind of get to see that. House
plant. I love when he calls him. She calls him that.
And so Fred calls again.
Right. Because they're right? slamming the window.
Because they're slamming the window. Sake. Okay. Yeah. But he's also in a super bad mood. And then, okay, so we get the close-up shots of the two couples. And did you realize, I think it's, no, they're not in them. But they do have matching pajamas.
Yes.
Which I feel like I need to find and buy.
Well, they used to sell those for $6.95. They had a set of being Ricky and Lucy. There's
got to be some, right? Somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone's got to have a set. Pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't wear them because they're orange. And ugh, but I,
so, yeah. So Fred calls because he's upset, screaming like, what are you doing up there with the slamming of the windows, which I can understand because it was a little, like you said, exaggerated and unnecessary. So then that kind of, you know, ends with both of them saying, you know, Fred's upset downstairs. And then the other thing that I can absolutely relate with is, you know, getting upset with the drip drip of the shower. I will
repetitive sounds bother me.
Mm-hmm. Like I can be in, oh my gosh, this is so funny. My husband laughs because if wherever if he's going to make a left-hand turn, right-hand turn, and the blinker's going and he forgets it, he doesn't hear it. And it sounds to me like Ricky is hearing this dripping, you know, it's getting more and more.
Like intensifies the longer you have to hear it. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And really, I remember my mom once, like we were on a trip, right. And we had a dog crate and the handle of the dog crate kept hitting the side. And I mean, this is like a 10 hour drive. Like it was a super long drive.
Yeah.
And it was driving me insane. And I can remember my mom just being like, well, just ignore it. And I went, I can't, it's in you my hear brain. It more.
Like, yeah. So I cannot take sounds that. Like that. Yeah. It would.
Yeah.
That face that Ricky makes is absolutely me with just about any repetitive sound that isn't being addressed, that isn't being right. fixed, you know? And but so.
Of course he goes like Hulk on the, you know, like he freaks out and starts slamming on things. Right. So kind of his fault that things broke, you know?
And you know, and what's funny is that I've read and also seen something in a movie where that was kind of Desi's actual, you know, level of frustration when something like that would go wrong, would just kind of like break something or, you know, get upset like that.
They have another fight, another call, another fight again. So they have three little tiffs in one night.
Yeah.
And this is where they're like, all right, we're moving out. And yeah. The Mertzes are like, fine, move out. And so the next morning, if you're okay, if we jump there.
Yeah.
The next morning, Lucy is, I can't remember what she's doing, but Ethel comes in to get her rings. This is the first time for two things, actually. So this is the first time we see the Ricardos have a full out fight with the Mertzes.
Yeah.
We're going to see it again in the courtroom, which I love that episode. Never do business with friends. Also love that. I just like when they're fighting, I guess.
Yeah, the you know, the exchanges, the insults back and forth are always
hilarious. It's just so over the top, right? So I don't know, I think it's so fun. But this is the first time also that we hear jokes made about Fred finding the rings for Ethel in a Cracker Jack box,
right?
And Ethel's gonna make a similar joke in Bonus Bucks and in Building a Barbecue. For any of our younger listeners that don't know what a Cracker Jack box is, I don't know what our listening demographic is, but I don't No, do they still make Cracker Jack boxes with things inside of them?
Well, they definitely make Cracker Jack boxes still, and bags too, but they went from having toys and things, you know, that kids can play with to now they're kind of like a
like little stickers?
Stamps. Like yeah. Stamps or stickers, or you kind of peel them off and it's
no one wants that.
Yeah, but I'm sure there was
my toys.
Perhaps there were kids that probably choked or probably got injured with toys that are randomly. She meant to say is it can be dangerous for some children, and it's a good thing they changed it. And their legal department probably a stupid
kid. can this go in my mouth? Let's see.
Yeah. So that's probably where that, I'm sure they did have plastic toy rings at some point, and that's where that joke comes from. And what I love about that you mentioned is, you know, when Ethel first comes in before she asks for the rings and all that, she just slams the door in her face. I mean, it's suddenly just so mean to one another.
Oh, mean.
And so she comes up to kind of ask, because prior to the night before, they had mentioned that they want to move out because they're so unhappy with the plumbing and all that. So Ethel's like, when are you guys going to move? We want you out of here
they're
ASAP.
So formal.
Mrs.
Whatever
Ricardo.
They fight, Mrs. Ricardo, when will we have the pleasure of your departure? Or something like that. They're mm-hmm. so formal when they're fighting too sometimes, and it's really funny.
So she's wanting the 5-month you know, I guess deposit or rent to be able to break the lease, which is what this whole episode is based around, is breaking that lease. And so I think they had drafted up a longer lease prior. That's why they're, you know, not being able to just move out. And she says, after they redecorate, and Ethel's like, yes, after we fumigate, just
so bad. Is Lucy packing when Ethel comes in?
No, that's later on.
No, that's later.
Yeah,
okay.
She's just, okay. It's first thing in the morning.
She's just doing her, mm-hmm. her morning routine.
Right.
But okay, during this fight, though, is when Lucy finds out that they're still being held to
the lease.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you said that. I'm really sorry if I just repeated you, because they have 5 months that they have to repay.
Right.
And that's a considerable amount of money, you know, like to just have on the spot.
Yeah.
To pay off. And so she tells, I love how Ricky comes out and just starts kind of having a simple conversation, and this is shut up, like, or something.
Like, what did I do?
Bites his head off. Yeah,
yeah.
But then, you know, she tells him, and Ricky goes, well, we could just break the lease, have them break, you know, the lease, mm-hmm. And ask them to move out. And so that is their new goal. They're trying, and I love that Ricky came up with this idea, right?
Ricky's Yeah. And she said, we could be like the worst tenants they've ever had. And you know, it's funny. It kind of reminded me of, remember later on in towards the last season when they want to buy the country house, and then she changes her mind and she's like, no, I want to stay here. But Ricky had already put in a deposit. So same thing. They want to be, you know, unfavorable, unlikable tenants or people who are,
I like that one. They became gang members there though. So I mean, they went really above and beyond.
And so what she starts doing is later on in that evening, I suppose, she walks out of the room just slamming books and slamming her shoes on the ground, because, you know, I'm assuming their apartment is right above the Mertz's apartment. So mm-hmm. she's just, you know, stomping on the ground. And the same thing with Ricky when he comes in, how's my little lease breaker? And so he starts.
Yes. And they're stomping. Talking so loud, the yelling, yeah. You know.
Oh my gosh. It's so dramatically. And this is like overnight. This is not like a week's worth of, you know, planning thinking.
Yeah. It's all right there. All of mm-hmm. a sudden they're breaking the lease. And so Ricky comes in, says they have that conversation about how the little lease breaker is. And then he mentions that he's going to be late coming home. And Lucy says, well, why don't you bring your whole 16-piece band into our apartment?
A rumba band, by the way.
Yes. Oh, and so that is what happens. And they bring him. And so after that scene, we cut to the band playing, right? And we're supposed to think that the Mertzes are, you know, below hating it, right? But instead, they're out on the corner selling tickets.
And the way we know this is because, you know, as we mentioned in a spotlight we did on Hazel Pierce and Bennett Green, they make an appearance both in here. This
one.
Yeah, because in the crowd of extras in the Ricardo's jam session are, you know, the Lucy and Desi stand-ins. And so, and also Lucy's longtime friend, and which also was a contender for the role of Ethel, Barbara Pepper. She actually, they go back to, you know, when they first got to Hollywood, that's where their friendship comes from. And so Pierce also makes, you know, the second of 13 credited appearances, having first played the woman who went over Niagara Falls, in a barrel in the quiz show. We went over all of those. And so yeah. It's just hilarious because just randomly the way Bennett Green grabs her, like, yes. This is so great. Who are these people? I don't know.
And yeah, of course, then, you know, before they find out that they're selling the tickets, they're, all of a sudden they're like, wait, there's a lot of people here. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? This one couple, they're super happy. And she's like, oh, yay. And this is where Barbara Pepper comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the wife, and the couple come and they say, you know, they just sold us the last tickets, you know, and
jam session, Rick Ricardo in person is what the sign said, and selling tickets, because of course that's an opportunity that Fred probably came up with.
Of course, you know it. And so when they find out that they're back in the house, they play El Breco the Liso, which is
yes.
The Mexican hat dance, or the what?
I would like to hear you pronounce that. What's the name of the song?
Nope.
It's titled Jarabe Tapatio, which is better known as the Mexican hat dance.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And just like that, too.
Jarabe.
God. And it's come to symbolize like Mexico
Mayama,
around the world.
Mayama.
Oh, my.
Mayama. It's Mayama, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, but everyone says Mayama. That don't know how to speak, you know.
That's true.
Anyways, we're coming in.
that Mexican hat dance, it dates back to the 18th century, but became internationally famous after Russian dancer Anna Pavlova added it to her repertoire after visiting Mexico in 1919. And then after that, they do one called, I'll let you, do you know the name of the second one?
L.
Already sounds... Well, you know.
Listen, I don't have a Spanish accent.
So this one was El Cumbanchero.
See, L is perfect.
That was written by Rafael Hernandez, composer of Puerto Rican popular music around the 1940s, and also was previously heard in Lucy is Jealous of Girl Singer. And so they're just going off on this 16 you know, piece band, which I think if you count, it's like 14, but it's
unacceptable.
And just loud and stomping and singing. And of course, when they open the door, Fred and Ethel come in.
But they think they're stealing, right? They're
pieces of drywall, a chandelier on Fred's head, which is hilarious because you can see Lucy and Desi trying to not laugh because I think I read where they hadn't seen them, you know, in rehearsal like that. So it's the first time seeing
Well, that makes sense. You know, that's probably the best, you know.
Yeah.
Or when she stops the train car and they come in with all the food. Yes. They come in with like the raincoat. But they come in, they break the lease. They're like, okay, you know what, you can have the lease. You do get to see Ethel's bathrobe. It'll turn up and here's Lucy.
Yes. It's and so comfy. It's
worn by Anne Margaret as well, mm-hmm. which I know I look at it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not a big bathrobe person, but that looks really comfy.
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
The next scene we see them packing. Mm-hmm. Yes. And mm-hmm. Lucy's at the table. She's packing up stuff. And this is where we get to see a magazine on the table with... It's a TV guide and it has a picture of Lucy and Desi on the cover.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, and it's kind of like when Andy Griffith had the magazine of Lucille Ball in their store, in the store, in the drugstore. So that I'd like how they're just slipping themselves into there. Which is, I mean, that to be fair, that's a huge continuity error because it's their photos, right?
Right.
Like it's actually a photo. And so you're going, okay, if it was a photo of them, why are they on a TV guide? But anyways, I liked it still.
But I like it. It's a cute little Easter egg you can find. You know, they have a few of those. Like when Lucy's very heavily pregnant and you can see she's reading a magazine that has an I Love Lucy on the cover of it as well when she's, I think it's the episode when she has the baby, she's also, so they do a lot of those reading, you know, their own stuff, their own magazine covers and articles and stories. So of course they, Fred and Ethel come in and, they each have each other's items. So, you know, Lucy has some of Ethel's, I'm guessing clothing, which, okay, I don't know that they wear each other's clothing, and Fred and Ricky have each other's tools, you know, tools and things like that, and they come in and kind of exchange them, and you know, it's all sad.
Ethel's like, it's all there if you want, you know, want to look, and this is where Lucy's like, no, I trust you.
You do.
And the boys are like, okay. I feel like their argument was really definitely fueled by the girls. You know, they might have been a little bit annoyed with the plumbing and things like that, but it was definitely continued fueled by the females. And so the girls make up and Ricky's like, okay, well, I don't know, but it seems like Lucy wants to stay. And Fred's like, well, it doesn't matter to me, but it's up to Ethel.
Yeah.
And obviously they're like, yes, blah, blah, blah. And Fred had brought up a new lease already. So you can see, you know, they're friends because he had already hoped it all turns out well in the end. And that's it. That's the end of this episode. It's a really fun episode. And it is actually the second of the three episodes that were comprised into the I Love Lucy movie. There was the Benefit and the Ballet and this one tucked in the middle.
And what's funny is that I did come across some information in this is just some random Polish TV remake of this.
Oh yeah, I remember this. I love Clara.
In 2001, it was a Polish remake loosely based on I Love Lucy titled, I want to do it justice, is it Kocham? Kocham? K-O-C-H-A-M, Clara. And which is I Love Clara, presented Termination, loosely based on this episode and co-written with the cooperation of the original I Love Lucy writers. The Zapalski and the Nowaks organize an evening of live songs. Everyone is having a great time. And when the Nowaks return to their apartment, Clara and Cuba continue their fun. The Nowaks quickly change their minds about their neighbors. So it was an exact replica of this. But
yeah, I was going to say loosely. Loosely, to find this, right? Like I've been looking for it, but I haven't been able to find it. If anyone knows where to find it, y'all should let us know because I would be interested in seeing.
Yeah, sort of a Polish remake of the show. So that's pretty interesting. So yeah, this one's just fun. It was all taking place, I just realized, in the Ricardo's apartment. That was the entire the entire episode was in the Ricardo's apartment. So that's pretty neat.
There's not many where it's just the Ricardo's apartment, is there?
No.
That was cool. All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah, we're moving along.
Yeah, only two more. And then we'll be at 20. Yay.
And then we'll move on to season two, sort of somewhere along the line. But thanks, guys, for listening. Find us everywhere on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram. And our email is havingaballpod@gmail.com and Facebook and YouTube.
And YouTube.
And everywhere.
All right, guys. And everywhere. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.